Welcome to the Women and Wealth Podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women in Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Today we are continuing from last podcast. In the last podcast, Esther really covered what people are asking when they call into Gates Pass Advisors. And she talked a lot about the different things that people are looking for and the questions that they have. And today we're continuing with that. But now she's going to talk about some of the strategies that she uses with her clients and the prospects that are walking through the door. Good afternoon, Esther. How are you?
I am doing well, Eric. It's so bright and gorgeous as we head into fall here. It's one of my, I love summer and the long days, and I also love the crispness of the fall. So I'm very happy. Thank you.
Fantastic. I wish it was fall here. It's just still very hot. I'm looking forward to some cooler temperatures. So we're talking about strategies today, and that's, we were talking a little bit about this before the podcast, and you said this is a very wide open topic. There's lots that we could talk about, but where do you want to start today with the strategies that you use?
Well, I want to talk about continuing with what prospective clients are calling in about, what they're looking for. And we talked in the previous podcast about how a number of them say, well, it's not really portfolio management I want. It's really, I'm heading into some transitions in my life. Mm-hmm. And, or there could be a transition coming up in the next 5 or 10 years. And I want to know who's out there to help me with it without taking over portfolio management. So we're talking about the strategies that we do here other than portfolio management. I do say to these prospective clients, I do recommend that over time we do participate with your portfolio, but it's not a requirement to be a client of Gates Pass. Our philosophy here at Gates Pass is that absolutely the investments are very critical, how you're allocated. And I will talk about that in terms of strategies. But I always, if you can envision a pie and that the investments are maybe a quarter of that pie and three quarters of that pie in terms of your personal financial strategy is all about the decisions that you as a prospective client have before you. And these decisions include such things as I'm moving into retirement, which is something that prospective clients call about. I'm moving into retirement. Oh, I think I'm really close now. I think I could retire. Now, how do I take this pool of assets that I've grown through my own skill and ability, as well as just what's happened with my company and the success that I've been afforded through my employment, and really turn that into income generation for mm-hmm. my future? And that's part of that decision. That's part of that three quarters. Others are saying, well, I have plenty of money now, but I'd really like to pass more of that to my children before I die. I'd like to enjoy it. How do I do that? So then often people, it's the big question is, gosh, it would be wonderful if there were no income taxes due on any of this, but there are. How do I do it wisely? So we really look at providing what I call clarity around the guardrails of spending and gifting. There are always, well, I don't know. Yeah, there are. I hate words like always and never, mm-hmm. but we want to know, I know what I want to know with my own planning and what I use my planner for. And I think it's a very critical part of planning in terms of our service. I can't separate myself out from what we offer to clients. It's often that perspective of how can we utilize this asset base? What are our choices? How far can we go in terms of gifting to our children? I was speaking with a client yesterday whose life is shifting and changing. And while we had him originally retiring at age 65, which for him is in about 9 years, he's actually saying, you know, things are changing in my life and I'd kind of like to look at retiring in a year and a half or so. Mm. And I know this client really well. And I know the things that are important to him in terms of quality of life. And absolutely, travel is something really important. And so it's one of the things that we look at. Well, when you retire, what's going to happen with your travel budget? And he's not someone who needs to be in five-star hotels. Not that, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not really his gig. He just wants the flexibility to go everywhere, whenever, stay in a nice hotel, stay camping, whatever it is. So to look at, okay, well, let's just dream big in terms of the things that are really important to you and just see where are your guardrails in terms of if you retired in 2 years versus nine, what does that do in terms of your ability to travel and really have a very rich retirement? And then look at things that aren't as fun, like, okay, we have to look at long-term health issues. I know you have friends and colleagues and people that you know who, and I certainly do have, you know, both within the practice and out of the practice where, I mean, look what happened to me with my husband, a very serious health issue came up in his 50s. And we have to look at what is the impact if you happen to have a serious health issue. Let's address that. What if there's a market downturn, which there will be at some point? Well, let's look at that in advance. We can never predict when it will happen, how long it will be down for, you know, how severe it will be, when it will recover, but we know something's going to happen. So let's look at this in advance of a downturn and say, how do we prepare for that? That's how Gates Pass helped so many clients as we went through the decade of the 2000s when we had the tech crash of 2001, two. I mean, that was so three down years in a row, as well as the huge financial crisis covering basically 2008-9, and they still stayed on track. I would love to say that I was able to predict any of that stuff. No, we put guardrails in place. We looked at things in advance enough to know, okay, we can navigate through this based on the buffers that we have in place.
I love the visual of guardrails, quite honestly, because I don't know if you've ever seen guardrails on a corner of a highway or growing up in Washington State, and I know that you're in the beautiful Pacific Northwest. There's guardrails around corners on in areas that are cliffs and drop-offs and major concerns. But if somebody hits one of those guardrails, the guardrail bends. It bows a little bit because you can't not go out a little bit. But what it does is it pushes you right back on the right path, right? It gets you right back onto that road that is the direction you're supposed to be going instead of, you know,
off
that cliff. So that's a beautiful visual that you use there. And all of those things that you were just talking about could potentially be real hazards. So I think that's beautiful. Now, when you're helping clients do that, you were really talking about clients that are coming in, but they don't want the whole portfolio management thing.
Right.
So when you're helping set these guardrails up, what's their response? I mean, have they been thinking about these things or are these new ideas to them and concepts?
They've been thinking about some of them. I mean, typically people know I want to travel or I want to do more. I want to absolutely have more time with my children. They've been thinking about what they want to do with the funds, but it is much harder for them to quantify. They've perhaps put things in place. They go, well, yeah, if the market goes down, I've set these funds aside here in cash or short-term bonds that I will use. And that's great. I mean, that's fabulous. The questions, how I describe what we do is that's a great start. And then the question will be, how will you navigate it if you use those funds up perhaps sooner than you anticipate? Mm-hmm. And so whereas before you had a portfolio that was maybe 80% stock, 20% bonds made up of these cash reserves and short-term bonds, and then you're using them up. So now your portfolio is even more heavily weighted towards equities, and we don't know when equities will recover. Will it still put you in a position to liquidate securities, stocks at a time that you don't want to? And maybe you still have tax to pay at that time because you do have a low basis. So it's not, I always sound a bit like a Debbie Downer, I think, but it's really not that. It's saying, let's just look at this. This is what we do. We just look at where do we run into challenges and how do we do our best at preparing for those ahead? because you're still going to have stocks paying dividends. That income will still come in if you have a portfolio that has dividend paying stock. Again, I live in Silicon Valley, a lot of technology companies, some that do pay a nice dividend, some that don't. And so it is just navigating through that about what types of stocks do you have in your portfolio. Mm-hmm. They also, some go, oh, you know, I hadn't thought about that, or I hadn't considered that. I think always the question can be, you and I talked about it before, and it's about, well, how much am I going to be paying for this? Is there the value there that I need in terms of sorting this out?
One of the things that you mentioned just a moment ago that you really didn't talk about within the guardrails mm-hmm. were taxes. And I don't know how much people really truly understand about how taxes are going to affect them unless they've done a lot of study and, again, basically have taken on the role of an advisor or a CPA that knows what the different accounts and what they truly have in there. Because you can look at all the numbers, but that doesn't mean that's what you get when you try to pull things out.
Yeah, and I've been surprised a lot about taxes. That's fine. I'm just looking over clients' 2018 returns, or have been through the late part of the summer, and not in all cases. In some cases, 2018 definitely negatively impacted how much clients were paying in tax, and in others, it drastically reduced it. But the 2018 tax law, that's when we're talking about taxes, there's so many places to go, but I'll touch on a few things here. One is that tax laws change. So we are here now in 2019. Just 2 years ago, we didn't have a different tax system in place. The 2018 tax law didn't come into play until December of 2017. And that did drastically change planning for mm-hmm. people. What's in place now, there's a SECURE Act that just passed Congress in May. It passed, actually not the whole Congress, just the House passed it. Mm-hmm. And it's really going to have an impact if it passes the Senate also. It will really have an impact on IRA planning. There's part of it is saying we'll defer. Right now, everyone has to, in a traditional IRA, whether you roll your 401k or 403b into it, or you contributed to a deductible IRA over the years, everyone has a required minimum distribution date where you must start pulling money out of the IRA based on your life expectancy. And that is the crazy age of 70 and a half. And so part of the SECURE Act proposal is, hey, let's defer it till 72, where you don't have to withdraw until 72. Because more people are working longer, yes, you get a year and a half extra of tax deferral. That sounds good. But there's a deeper issue that isn't as widely discussed, which is right now if somebody has a spouse, typically the spouse inherits the IRA, and they can take out the distributions over their lifetime as well. And then, under current law, it typically passes to children, and then they can take out the money over their own lifetime. And that stretch provision can really be incredible in terms of estate planning and income planning and all of that. Well, the new with the SECURE Act, a big part of that bill is that children will be required to draw out all the money from an inherited IRA within 10 years. Mm. And while I've seen different letters to the editor in the Wall Street Journal on this and commentary, it's sort of like, well, boo-hoo, you have to get your money out. I'm so sorry. But that's a tax planning issue for individuals who are in the tax bracket where they're making between $150, $250, $300 a year. And then if they inherit an IRA from their parents, that maybe it's $1 million IRA, maybe it's $500,000 IRA, maybe it's more, and they have to take out over 10 years, if it's $500,000 IRA, that's another $50,000 of ordinary income mm-hmm. that they're required to pay taxes on. And a lot of higher than they want will go out in taxes. So the fact of tax planning, just bringing it back, is yes, we have to look at taxes, and we have to be prepared for the fluidity that is tax law and how that will change. And if this does come to bear, what I'm planning going forward is, if it should pass the Senate, we have to circle back to our estate planning attorneys on behalf of our clients and say, what do we do now with this? We have to look at saving strategies into 401ks and 403bs. Do you really want to save as much as you have been? Yes, it's a tax deduction now, but what about planning for the future? How do we navigate that? In terms of other things with capital gains taxes, we often look at portfolio. It's very easy for the mind. If we go back to one of my, behavioral finance, the brain can be very black and white. Mm-hmm. The brain wants a very straightforward answer to things. So it almost can be taxes or no taxes. And what we do with planning and perspective is draw out those gray areas in terms of, well, how much tax in 2019? What's happening in your life in 2020? Maybe we want to push that into 2020 and not do it in 2019. Mm-hmm. Or we want to spread this out over 4 years, not worry about doing it all in 1 year or all in another.
Yeah. Yeah. Just for the record, my brain chooses no taxes. Just wanna, that's where it goes. Just want to know. So let me ask you this. This is really about, we started this podcast and the previous podcast about people calling in and the questions they have. So do you get people calling in and saying, look, here's the deal. I'm doing a pretty good job. I've got my portfolio pretty much set. I'm doing all the things that I need to do. However, I'd love for you to help me with taxes. And that's all I really need.
Absolutely, we do. They're like, can you just help us with this one part of taxes? Can you just say, how can we avoid this? Can you just look at that? And again, I go back to my pie analogy, and it's kind of, can you just help us with this one slice? Mm-hmm. And I've got the other 80% or 50%, however you want to quantify that. And I just say, I can't just look at that one piece because so much is interconnected. It is saying, well, if you have a low tax bracket now, one of the strategies that we look at, maybe we want to consider with these IRAs doing a Roth conversion for a portion mm-hmm. of your IRAs. Let's look at that as a consideration and say, what is the impact if we move funds into a Roth IRA over the next 6 years until you're before you're 70 and a half and required to take. So we reduce the exposure in your traditional IRA, raise it in your Roth where current tax laws, you will never have to take out minimum any minimum distributions. You can pass that along to your children free of estate tax. If you do need the money, as long as you've had the funds in there for 5 years or longer, it's tax-free to you. Maybe we look at that, but you can't look at that in isolation because you also have to look at, and what is your Social Security plan? A lot of people want to defer Social Security until age 70. There's nothing wrong with that. We get a nice raise when we do defer of 8% a year. But does it make sense to take Social Security perhaps sooner? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Take a lower amount and coordinate these things so you'd navigate through with utilizing Social Security, some Roth conversion money in terms of taxes, or do you defer the Social Security until later and it'll be a larger amount that's taxable on your tax return? What do you want to do with the dividends you're receiving? Do you want to make any adjustments there? And I'm just going off the top of my head just how much this is intertwined.
Absolutely.
If you think of like a rope and it's intertwined, smaller pieces of rope that's all pulled together to create a really strong structure that's very, very tough and can stand up against a lot of force. That's how I see personal planning. You can't just say, well, can we just look at this one strand? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, no, not for me philosophically. That's where I refer somebody back. Just talk to your tax planner and they will just look at that one strand.
Yeah. And that's it. You said it on the last podcast, it's like going to the doctor with a sore throat and saying, mm-hmm. That's all I want you to look at. Don't worry about anything else. Family history. I didn't fill out the form when I was sitting in the waiting room. I don't want that. I just want you to look mm-hmm. at my throat. It would be irresponsible for that doctor to say, meh, all right, here's a cough drop. This should work, because
right.
so many
oh,
other
that's
things.
What you want? Okay, I'll do it your way.
Yeah, exactly. And so no doctor in their right mind would do that. And I appreciate the fact that you are a fiduciary. Mm-hmm. And you do feel it is, because we've talked about this on another podcast, you feel it's your responsibility, because it is. It is your responsibility to be a fiduciary and do the what's in the best interest of your client. And I love the pie analogy. Going back to the pie analogy, has anybody ever tried to cook one piece of pie? It doesn't exactly stay in the shape it's supposed to. And it's a disaster. I would still eat it personally, but it would still, it's not going to work right. So I love the fact that you touched on that. And I think you may have mentioned in the last podcast, or maybe it was, you know, when we were talking before, but how often are people saying, okay, I'd like you to take a look at this, and then I want to check in with you every once in a while. But their idea of once in a while is more like a long once in a while, right?
Yeah, I was asked that recently. Can we just set this up and do the plan? Then I come back to you in a few years after that. And I don't own clients. I can't control what they do, but I say I don't recommend it. That's not how we're set up at Gates Pass. Mm-hmm. You can find some other planner who is set up like that. The reason that I don't recommend it is because we set up now, and I used to do that, you know, years ago, probably I haven't done it for 15 years, because I would say, sure, we have the strategy, go live your life, come back. Well, what's going to happen in the next 12 months, Eric, in terms of the market, the economy, your life, mm-hmm. your children's lives,
exactly.
The key equity areas of the market, we don't know. And so because of that, I recommend that people just stay the course with us in terms of navigating along the way. So I like that analogy of the ship in the water, because, you know, you can tack towards a particular goal. Mm-hmm. You can say, okay, I'm going to cross the Pacific from California to Hawaii, and I have my directions, I have my coordinates, I'm all set, I'm paddling, and then I'm going to let go of the paddle because, you know, I've already set this up, and I'm just going to lay back and just see where I'm at in a week. Yeah. Well, we know that the currents come up, we know that the winds change, and then we also know that, you know, things come up that we didn't anticipate, and then we're off course, and then how long does it take to get back on course? And what does it cost in terms of your energy and effort? And do you have the supplies on board to cover for that original time, mm-hmm. initial, I mean, that adjusted time and effort? And that's how I look at strategy with personal finance. It's much better and it's lower cost, lower effort to just say, okay, where are we? What's happening? Let's make this adjustment as we go forward. Right now, we're in a time economically where pretty much everybody agrees we're moving towards slower economic growth globally, mm-hmm. for a variety of reasons, but slower. Not recessionary, is not anticipated in the near term, but slower. So what does that mean in terms of the portfolio of equities that people have put together? That, you know, we are in this long expansion, longest expansion ever. But what does this mean going forward for the next 10 years with the assumption that we're slowing down? How do we take advantage of that? What are the equities that are good in that type of environment that really will support us in getting to our goal? And how do we navigate moving towards that? So I really like that analogy so that we can work with people going forward. And so many clients, I have to say, so many clients over and over, the thing that they say, I wish I had done this sooner. I wish I had come to you sooner. The better thing would be if I had come to you 10 years before I did, but I'm here now. And the reason that they say that is because of the money, time, and expense that they spent and the brain, you know, the anxiety that they had that we really help alleviate. That one can't necessarily put a dollar figure to that. But if one can just imagine, what would it be like if I really was, how much time am I spending thinking about my money and what's going to happen and being alleviated of that and having that really clear in terms of moving forward? I mean, what's the value on that?
Yeah. And that, the beauty of it is that I know how you work with your clients. They are part of a team. They're part of your team. It's mm-hmm. not that you're setting things up for them and then you're telling them, you know what, I'll just take care of this. They're an active participant in that. They're an active mm-hmm. participant in every aspect of it, because yeah. you're continually communicating with them, you're having reviews all the time. And so they know it's not that they put it completely out of their mind. I think it's more of the fact that they can say, you know, Esther's already talked to us about this, and I know where we're headed for the next 3 months, the next 4 months, mm-hmm. the next 6 months, the next year. And I know mm-hmm. what happens if, right? Because we've got guardrails in place that she talked to us about. We've got these different things that really will, again, like you said, it brings down that stress level, which is probably one of the most important things that you do. And I know that it's a little cheesy because people say this all the time, but this is a relationship business. No, truly, this is a relationship business that you're in. And by having those relationships and that communication, that's what alleviates fears.
Yeah. And I really want that. I think that's one of the things when prospective clients, and I really always acknowledge them for taking the risk to pick up the phone, because they're, you know, our industry, the financial services industry, has frankly a pretty terrible reputation. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's can be quite well earned because of all the ways that different firms have said, oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about the fees that are being charged. You know, mm-hmm. we're fabulous, and pay no attention to the person behind the curtain, so to speak, and just go live your life. And then when people do look behind the curtain, they're like, wait, I'm paying for this. And what are you really doing? So I really want clients that are engaged with me. I don't want them to just turn everything over and just, I love clients that are engaged because that helps me do a better job for them. Tell me who you are, what you need, what's going on. And it also, I think the other thing about us being involved, we talked about going off course, and it's the decisions that come up along the way. Clients have said often, it's really helpful to talk things through with you mm-hmm. and to know that you're there on my team from what is best for me. I think of that. Do you remember that Costa Concordia cruise liner from a few years ago, where there was a very able captain, and I think it was off, I think it was in Italy, and it was a cruise liner, and the captain said, well, I'm just going to sail close to the coast because I have my friends there and I want them to see this boat. And he totally, I think people were killed. And it hit rocks and it went completely off course. The whole boat flipped over.
Oh my goodness.
And it's just, that's part, not to be like all spooky, but you know, sometimes we can all get bees in our bonnet and go, well, this is the way to go. And I'm going to go for this and I'm going to do this. And before they know it, even with their skills and experience, they've run something aground. And mm-hmm. I think that's also part of how we work with clients is, and that's why we look at things like those guardrails. There's reasons that captain had guardrails also, but ignored them because he wanted a certain result that would make him look good.
Yeah. Well, you've thrown down the gauntlet, so now I'm going to be challenging you.
Okay.
I want you to come back next podcast. Can we talk about how you get paid, your fees and the structure of that and how that works? Because I think the audience, you said it yourself, that's one of the things that may be an apprehension for people to give you a call. I'm taking care of this myself, and if I don't have to pay fees, then that's all the more money that I have, you know, for retirement or whatever. But
for retirement, and I, you know, it helps insulate me with market downturns. Exactly. If I'm not paying somebody, I'm saving that percent or whatever it is.
And in my personal opinion, I know, and I believe that's a fallacy. So I would love for you to address that issue and address and kind of share with the audience how you do get paid. How does
I'd love to. Pass?
Okay, perfect. Then let's do that on the next podcast. Any closing thoughts for today's podcast?
Yeah, you know, as we're talking about this, and I've talked about this over the last couple, this podcast and the one before, and what prospective clients are calling about and the questions that they have, what's on their mind, what has caused them, is they really have specific questions that they'd like answered. I would love for those who are listening to this podcast to take maybe 10 minutes today and write down, what are all the things on your mind about your personal financial strategy? What questions would you love it mm-hmm. if you could sit down with somebody for an hour and just say, this is what is just on my mind a lot, and I'd love some guidance and direction about it. I would love to hear what that list is.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you make that list, if you noodle on it and think about it and come up with some of the answers, great. If you don't, call Esther. Make an appointment, and she can answer a lot of those questions for you, because that's what this is all about. Esther, thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate it.
I love it, Eric. Thank you.
All right. And be ready for that next podcast, because I'm going to really ask you the hard questions. We want to know what you charge, Esther.
Absolutely. It'll be transparent.
All right. Absolutely. All right. That is great. Thank you for listening to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thanks again for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.